Hey, welcome everyone. My name is Brent Sinclair, Executive Pastor here at Covenant Grow. Welcome to Ash Wednesday. Yes, indeed. Hey, we're going to talk for a little bit, just a few minutes, about why Ash Wednesday. Is that all right? And to do that, I got to digress for just a little bit and take you back in time to when I was raised back in Oklahoma, because I was raised in a Baptist church, okay? Amen? All right. The problem is, in the Baptist church, we didn't really celebrate Ash Wednesday. So my only recollection of ashes is not necessarily a good one. Now, I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but we did have a fireplace. Does anybody here have a fireplace? No, I mean a real fireplace. I'm not talking about these 21st century fireplaces that have glass on the front, right? And you flip on a switch. Or you have a remote control and it turns these little sprinkly lights on. That's not a bloody fireplace. I had a fireplace growing up, and we burned real wood in this fireplace, right? I'm talking about big chunks of real wood, all right? You know what I'm talking about. Big booming fire, right? Fills the whole room with fire and, unfortunately, the whole neighborhood full of smoke, right? Well, what else does it do? It fills the fireplace full of ashes, right? So whose job was that to clean? That was my job. And that's what I did for years. I cleaned out that fireplace. You have to do it two different places. You have to do it in the front, inside, but then out back on the chimney, there's this little opening, cast iron door. You have to open it up and scoop out the ashes. I did that for years and found that there is simply no way to do that without getting ashes all over one's person, right? So that is my experience at Ashes on any Wednesday, for that matter. So that's just to break the ice, just to let you know, because we come from different backgrounds, don't we? Some of us have practiced Ash Wednesday, and some of us not so much. And you may ask, well, isn't that a Catholic thing? Well, as you trace the roots back, it probably is. Probably started in the Catholic Church. But did you know that there are many denominations today and through time, many churches have practiced Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent. So it's not just a Catholic thing. Many people celebrate it, and including our denomination as well. Is that why we celebrate it? Because everybody else does? Is that the way we do things at Covenant Grow? Do we celebrate things because the Smiths do? No. Do we not celebrate things because the Joneses don't? No, we don't. Some days are more special to people than others, whether it's a day, a holy day, or a holiday. The word holiday. Did you know Hallmark probably celebrates more holidays than anyone? Surprise? Actually, to be more correct, they celebrate more holy days than anybody, because holiday is a form of two English words, holy day. So there, how's that? You learned something tonight. Maybe you already knew that. Maybe you didn't care. Let's go on. Yeah, so we don't celebrate days just because someone else does. Here at Covenant Grove, the overriding thing is, how do we lift the name of Jesus? How is the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, lifted on high? Secondary to that, but attached to that, is how do we provide an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus? And I think that Ash Wednesday provides an opportunity for both of those things, to lift Jesus on high and to draw closer to Him. So with that, let's begin. True, there's no mention of Ash Wednesday or Lent in the Bible, all right? But we have many copious reports, many acts of repentance, right? The mourning throughout the Old Testament. We have, well, all the prophets just about, right? We had David, Esther. How about Job when he said in Job 42:5, I repent in dust and ashes, all right? Is my sound coming in pretty good? Is that good? All right, okay. So is yours. That's good. I love it. That's great. All right, sackcloth and ashes, all right, sprinkled out throughout all of the Old Testament. I especially like Job, you know, repent and sackcloth and ashes. But also, remember the Ninevites? Those were the bad boys, right? I mean, they were the bad of the bad. They were, you know, practiced terrible things. They were the ones, though, that put on the sackcloth and ashes from the king all the way down. When one little guy named Jonah strutted through the city of Nineveh saying, repent, turn or burn, repent. You know, after he told God he didn't want to do it two or three times, right? The most reluctant evangelist in world history and turns a whole civilization to God in his message. God can do just about anything, right? All right. So let's talk about Ash Wednesday exactly in church history. Ash Wednesday begins a season of what's called Lent, L-E-N-T, which is the 40 days excluding Sundays from today until Easter Sunday, right? So it's leading up to the time of Easter. The Latin word quadragesima, all right, quadragesima, is translated into the English word Lent. Quad means 4, so 40th or 40 days from now until the time of Easter. That's where we get that word. Now, for you Bible nerds, any Bible nerds here? What does the 40 mean? 40 means a period or a time of what? Throughout all the Old Testament and New Testament. Testing. Thank you. Trials. Judgment. Okay, let's go back to Noah. Remember Noah? 40 days and 40 nights with his family in the boat, right? God's judgment over the whole earth. 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, he was in there more than 40 days, but that's 40 days, right? How about Jesus? Jesus was tempted for how many days? 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. So there's citations of both Old Testament and New Testament about 40 days. It's pretty significant. And it is usually, most generally, a period of time of testing, of trials, or of judgment. So, what can we take from that? What can we do with that? I think, starting with today, up to the time of Easter, we can look at about 4 different things. This is what Ash Wednesday can do for us. It can remind us of our own mortality, something that we don't want to be reminded of. How about a time of returning to God? How about a time of reflection, of self-examination? Someone brought that up earlier today. And how about a time of renewal? So we're going to look at those 4 things tonight. Let's pray. God, again, we praise your name. We praise your holy name. We lift your name on high tonight. And God, we do want to reflect on your goodness and mercy, but also we need to take time to reflect on our lives. Pray that we can do that tonight. Fill us with your mercy and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. To dust we shall return. Well, that's a grim statement, isn't it? A reminder of our mortality. Check this out. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. Genesis 2:7. Just think about that for a minute. The creator, designer of the universe, reached down, grabbed some dust, grabbed the earth, and formed human being. And he said it was okay. He said it was actually real good. Thank you for your Google test check over there. He says real good, and things were really good until man and woman decided they wanted to do their own thing. They thought they were going to do the best thing. So they turned away and did their own thing. We're disobedient. And now we have this separation between the Creator and these good created things, human beings. It's called sin. And so that's our dilemma. And so then God said back to the man, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat the food until you return to the ground, since it is from where you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. So Ash Wednesday, well, it reminds us of our mortality. Reminds us of our sinfulness. The result of sin is death. And that's a reminder to us through Ash Wednesday. We commemorate this. How? By placing an ashen cross on our forehead. That messy smudge reminds us of our mortality. The ash, symbol of death. The cross, actually an instrument of death. Hopefully there's more to it than that. It's a time to repent, a time to return to me. Listen to the words of the prophet Joel. I'm going to read this out loud. Joel 2, 12 through 14. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and good drink offerings for the Lord your God. God says to his prophet to tell the people, return to me. Return to me. Return to me. Don't rip your clothes off and give me these excuses. Don't rip your clothes off and give me these token answers of, oh, I'm not going to do it again, or sorry. He says, rend not your clothes. Rend your heart. Open your heart and let me in. Let me do a work. Let me do something new to that heart. Not just outward displays, but open up and let me renew. Let me start something new. I'd like to do something a little different now. Anybody ever done a responsive reading as a congregation? Well, I'm going to have you stand up if you can. Please stand up. We're going to have Psalm 51 on the screen. And what I will do, so what I will do, I will read the scripture, and then when it comes to the part that's on bold that says, have mercy on me, O God, that's your part, okay? And I want you to really blurt it out, okay? Can you do that? All right, I'm going to start it off here. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Mercy on me. Oh, that's great. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, for you are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Awesome. You can now be seated, please. And if this is your first time here, I'll walk you through it. But this is the time where Pastor Serena and I will administer the ash cross on your forehead. Well, these ashes, they're the residue. Residue is something that's burned out. Nothing seems more appropriate than our sinless state of humanity. And yet, though gray and lifeless, there's more to this story. Because there's good news from these ashes. Psalm 51 isn't just about human nature, it's about God's nature. Steadfast love, abundant mercy, compassion, unfailing love. He's a deliverer. These are the phrases we encounter in that same passage. The good news is God forgives sinners. The good news is he doesn't just do that. He recreates. Makes people new. From sin comes cleansing. From a conceited heart, a pure heart. From bondage to deliverance. By the grace of God, a band of just disobedient brutes, 12 of them, changed the world. By the grace of God, we were all enemies to this God. And now we are called the children of God. Though created out of dust, we are now created into something new, something beautiful through Jesus. He recreates in us. This broken relationship is now patched together. It's now bonded together through Christ. It's by the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, that we are made new. Not just the payment for sin, the freedom from the bondage of sin, and now made into something new. The curse is broken. And that's good news. That is good news. Here again, the words of the prophet Joel. In Joel 2:28. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And if you would like to, would you repeat this last verse with me? Verse 32. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that's good news. That's good news not only for salvation, but God has seen to it to include us into his divine plan of redemption for the rest of the world. And so now, out of this 40 days of Lent or 40 days of trial or whatever the 40 days is for you, could be something new. Could be something made new. Remember back Noah, in the days of Noah, 40 days of judgment. The whole earth was wiped out. But it ended and God began something new. A new earth, a new beginning. A new mission for Noah and his family. For Jesus, 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, but it ended. It ended with Jesus now set on his mission to change this world. And so now for us, what does that mean for us? What can we do in these next 40 days? Can something be made new? You know, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him, not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God didn't send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You know that verse, John 3:16 and 17. It's a verse of salvation, but what about something else? What about something new? What about a new direction? What about through these 40 days, we use this to set on something new? Maybe something that's been blocked for a while. Maybe something's been in the way of the path that you've been on. Yeah, self-examination, absolutely. We can do that every day, right? But how about we use this time for a closer examination? Turn from our destructive ways, draw back near to the Savior who gave His life for us. What's standing in the way of that? Is there something blocking that? Is there something impeding that walk with your Savior? I want to go back about 2 years, January 24th, 2023 to be exact. I got up as I always did, ate breakfast like I always did, got ready like I always did, went to the church office as I always did. Only something was different that day. I had this pain right here, just right here. I never had that kind of pain before. Well, within an hour, I was transported to the emergency room. And within an hour of that, I was diagnosed with a blockage of two arteries blocking the blood flow to my heart. Well, it didn't seem like a very difficult procedure for them to do because this very skilled surgeon used something like an Atari machine and toggled these stents, these little metal stents, right up my arm, through my arteries, up to the heart, and unclogged those arteries. Now the blood flow is restored. Had I been out hiking somewhere, you wouldn't be seeing me today. You'd be seeing someone else. That's not the story here. The storyline here is that there was a blockage. And that blockage had to be cleared. How about we let God toggle His stuff up through our arteries and clear them up? Clear a path. Help us to see straight. Help us to walk straight. See, sin kind of clogs us up. It's that plaque. It's that gunk that gets wrapped up in our arteries. You know, that conduit between God and us. And we kind of block off this Holy Spirit doing His thing. How about during these next 40 days, this self-examination, we let God do His thing through His Spirit and open up some of these arteries? Well, that's going to require some action on our part. It may mean we need to change some things, do some things differently. Do more of this, do less of that. So you know what I'm getting to here. Because here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Here's the deal. When you came in here tonight, on your chair, there's these cards. Pick up the cards, if you will. And kids, I think you got some cards too, right? So kids, pick up your cards as well. You're probably going to have to show mom and dad how to do this so you can help them out. You've seen these before. We do this each year during Ash Wednesday. The question on the card is simply this. How will you draw closer to Christ during Lent? And for some of us, this means letting God unclog some things, right? It may mean we need to add some things. You know, for some of us, we need to get back and let God just rip up our heart, open up our heart and let Him in, just as the prophet said. Not go through the motions of things, not just rip our clothes, but open our heart and let Him in. Let's talk through some simple things, things we can do less of and things we can do more of. All right, hi, we got that on the screen. Okay. Yeah, well, there it is at the top. Social media. Can anybody do less of that? You think it'll do you some good, maybe? Yeah, okay. Television, I just threw some things in here. Idle time and isolation. Isolation's never good for long periods of time. Some of us need to cut back on some of our Coca-Colas. Or maybe it's a meal or a variety of meals. Okay. There's always things we can do more of, things we should be doing more of with people, right? Doing more prayer, time in prayer. How about exercise? Need to get back on that treadmill. Devotion. Spending some time really with God through His Word, through study, being a witness, telling your story. I just told you one of mine. All I did is tell you a story. You can tell a story. You can tell a story to people around you, people at your work, people in your neighborhood about what God is doing, what He's done. It doesn't have to be long and detailed. Giving an invitation. You can invite someone to something. We've been talking about that now for months. Maybe it's time to go get some counseling, some professional counseling. How about join a life group? And yes, how about more regular attendance on Sunday morning? God's not keeping the chart, but I think you'll find it makes a difference, right? Spend some time, just a few minutes here, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, at your leisure, and fill this card out. You can take it home with you. You're not going to turn it in here. And if you can't think of something right now, well, take it home with you and fill it out later. So just spend a few minutes thinking about this, self-examination, doing something less, doing something more. Dear God, seriously, we open our heart, we rend our heart, and let You in. We're going to allow You to create in us something new, something beautiful. Jesus, we thank You, and it's Your name we pray. Amen.